We live in an exciting world. Every day it gets more and more exciting. We get just a little bit closer to home. You do know you're just sojourners here, don't you? You're just sojourners. But you're not going to be in heaven forever. You know that, don't you? There is a new heaven and earth coming. Amen. See, we need to keep our focus on the right things, or you'll go crazy. If you focus on what's going on in the world, it's going to be gloom and despair. I run into people in that state every day. They just think this is the end. And it is the end of age. But that's good news for those that are in Christ Jesus. Because we go into a new heaven and a new earth. Or we get raptured out of here for 7 years or 3.5 years, depending on which eschatologist you're listening to on any particular day. But it doesn't matter. You're in Christ Jesus. Amen? Does anything matter beyond that? There's a prayer that we like to say once in a while. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. You know, there's a lot of things you can't change. You just will have serenity and accept it. Have some peace of mind. Courage to change the things you can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen? There's a lot of people that have a hard time coming up with enough wisdom to know they can't change certain situations. But can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? And we will... When we partake of the Holy Communion, God wants us to discern the body of Christ. And the way to do that is to specifically look at this bread and identify this bread as the body of Christ and the different things about this body. Number one, this bread is made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. We know that Jesus' body is and was 100% without sin. He never made a mistake. Also, you'll notice that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. This bread, this body of Christ, was beaten and bruised for us. He was beaten for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. Also, you'll notice that this bread has stripes in it. The Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. You'll notice that this bread has been pierced. The Bible tells us that everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, basically his body got pierced when he got a crown of thorns. His body got pierced when he got nails in his hands. His body got pierced when he got nails in his feet. And his body got pierced when he was on that cross and that Roman soldier thrust a spear into his side. But the thing is, every time his body got pierced, he shed blood. And it paid for our redemption in some area. You also notice that this bread is slightly burned. That means that the full wrath of God's judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. He took all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases. He took all of our shortcomings. He took the full brunt of the curse of the law on him. And that's when God turned his eyes. That was the first time that Jesus actually addressed him as being God and not Father. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had turned his eyes away from Jesus. Because he turned his eyes away from Jesus, he'll never turn his eyes away from you. God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. So we're taken of this broken body and we receive health and healing in our body in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure because it is not the blood of Adam. It is the blood of God. Therefore, it has no sin in it. That's why the blood of Jesus is the only thing that could wash away our sins. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we've been justified freely by his grace. It's because of that blood that we have boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Now, the thing about communion, Jesus said, take this as often as you will. And that means you can take it monthly, weekly. You can take it daily. You can take it two or three times a day. You can take it as often as you will. But he did say to release, he did tell us to release our faith in it and know why we're taking it and discern the body of Christ. Now, a really quick shortcut for you is to get on Joseph Prince Ministries website and order their book on the Holy Communion. It only costs $4 or $5. You can get online, order a box of matzah bread, maybe $10, and then you go down to the store and get a bottle of grape juice for another $5-6. And then you have yourself a little emergency kit that you can keep at your house. You know, when the COVID hit, before that, God had inspired me to start taking communion every Sunday in here. So we started doing that. And then COVID hit. Now that was why. He wanted us to be prepared. You know, right at that time COVID hit, the government really started hounding us with their answer. God already gave us the answer. It was in the communion. It was the communion. And then he started teaching us some more stuff. You know, there's some more stuff that we could do with the ivermectin. You know, there was different stuff that we could do to help our bodies. And the world didn't want us to see these answers. In fact, they almost, they, If somebody, when the COVID was going on, somebody started talking about ivermectin, all the popular people, all the people in the know, would just attack them like a pack of dogs. And it turned out to be right. But here's the thing. God knows more than we do. He knows a lot more than we do. And there's been a lot of stuff that's been hidden from us. There's a lot of natural cures. You know, there's a lot of herbs. There's a lot of vitamins. There's a lot of minerals. There's a lot of different things that we can take for our bodies. These were created by God. These things that we can take for our bodies to help our bodies heal. Unfortunately, thanks to King James, a lot of that stuff got, you might say, bastardized. And they put it in the corner of witchcraft. They said, that's all witchcraft. So anybody would start talking about herbs or anything like that, they got labeled a witch. But God is bringing that truth back. He's starting to show us. People are starting to see more things on how we can be healed. Now, with that said, I want to turn over to Mark. Chapter 13. Verse 5. Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you." Literally, pay attention lest any man deceive you. Now, hopefully people are starting to see the world for what it is. See, one of the things that happened when the COVID hit was they told us to wear these masks everywhere. The COVID couldn't get you if you wear these masks. And I'm looking at these masks and I said, well, when you do sheetrock, you can't keep that sheetrock dust out of your mouth and out of your nose with the mask on. And then they went so far as to say, you have to wear the mask, get into the cafe, sit down at your table, then you can take your mask off. And COVID can't get you while you're eating. Yeah, on an airplane. And then these kids, they'd make them wear masks, but they could cut a hole in them so they could play their band instruments. There was never anything about protecting anybody. It was about submission. The devil is about submission. You have to understand, our government has been a very evil entity for a long time. And they've been trying to slowly draw us into submission for a long, long time. There's some very evil people behind our government. But Jesus is in the process of breaking us free from that. You cannot truly understand what's going on in the Bible without paying attention to what's going on in politics. You can't truly understand what's going on in the Bible without truly looking at nature. I listened to a Christian scientist last night. You know, this guy was really cool because he views all of his science through scripture. And I've always been curious about this thing because I know we've been going through this polar shift. You know, our world is changing and it's going through these birthing pains and it's growing. And he said, now you can see because of this polar shift, it's putting pressure on this world. That's why these faults, these earthquakes, you know, people have identified these different earthquakes that are about ready to happen, these volcanoes that are happening. And you know, since 2004, the weather extremes have been absolutely out of this world. You know, harsher winters than we've ever seen in some places, harsher droughts than we've ever seen in some places. I can't remember growing up a fire being almost 1 million acres, but I can count two of them. You know, Wyoming almost burned up 1 million acres a couple years ago. Nebraska almost burned up 1 million acres. The Panhandle, Oklahoma, the fires had just been raging. It's crazy. But Jesus told us about this. Then in verse 6 says, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So before we go any farther, we need to stop right there. See, Jesus said, many shall come in my name, and they shall deceive many. There is an awful lot of deception out there. A lot. There's a lot going on. Take heed. That means pay attention. Pay attention lest you be deceived. He wouldn't have warned us about it if it wasn't possible. Verse 7 says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. He said, be ye not troubled, for such things must need be, but the end shall not be yet. You know, there are people that are absolutely panicked about these wars going on. There have been people panicked about wars for a long time. You know, Fort Davis, for some reason, seems to be kind of a bug-out place for a lot of these people. You know, there's a bunker right over here by Dolores Mountain. Yeah, there's a guy that built a thing. I've seen the walls on this thing, and I've seen the stuff on the ceiling, and he built it in case they lit off an atomic bomb or nuclear bomb. And this dude had this thing built. And he had a little tunnel. There's a little manhole cover out there by the road. He could crawl out there to his little manhole cover, crawl out. And he didn't live long enough to see the end of the world. But he spent a lot of his life worried about it. I know a guy that bought that thing and finally cut a door in it and built it upstairs to it. So you can use it, and you can actually walk in there without having to crawl through the manhole cover. Yeah. 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 Yeah, it's unfortunate. But there's ways you can get cleaned up. I can get you hooked up with people to help you get cleaned up from that, help you get the spike proteins out of there. But here's the thing. We're going to talk about this in a little while, but it says, lean not unto your own understanding. Psalms 1 says, blessed is a man that does not depend on the counsel of the ungodly. See, this is what happened, you know, fear. It's one of those emotions that people fall into. And then this COVID bug started hitting, and they just blasted the airways with fear. And I, the first thing I did was start asking questions and start finding out about this COVID bug and start looking and find out about these vaccines. And it all traced back to the most evil people in this world. And I tried to tell people, stay as far away from that as you can possibly get and take the communion. See, we've got to understand, the government is not on your side. Trump, I have confidence in Trump. Anybody else in Washington, D.C., and Trump still, he's got to pay cash. He can't write a check. Everybody else is no business. But here's the thing. Jesus is bringing us to a very special place. He's bringing us to a very special place. Well, we're going to have some bumps. We're going to have some bumps getting there. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We're going to go through some hard times. If whatever you think you've seen has been crazy, you haven't seen anything yet. I've been telling people that for a long time. I said, the next year is going to be even crazier. The next year is going to be even crazier. The next year is going to be even crazier. When did it all start? It started during these blood moons, the tetrad of blood moons that coincided with these feasts in Israel. I told you very specifically, when that happens, drastic things happen to the world. That's when the Spanish Inquisition happened, during tetrad of four blood moons that happened during the feast. And guess what? America happened. There's been a lot of things happen. And look what's happened since then. See, Obama was president when those blood moons hit, wasn't he? And everybody thought he was the Antichrist and he was the end of the world. And then Trump got elected. And then Biden got elected. It's been one crazy year. Every year gets crazier, doesn't it? Well, verse 7 says, when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled. Be not troubled, for such things must be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in divers places. There shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrow. We're just in the beginning. We're just in the beginning. But just like that guy that dug him a hole over here by the Dolores Mountain and built him a concrete box, you know, that was not going to ever save him. See, all of our knowledge is not going to save us. All of our medicine is not going to save us. Gold and silver is not going to save us. Our bullets are not going to save us. All of our wit is not going to save us. Only Jesus. Only Jesus is going to save us. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Real quick. There's some things I want to look at in here, just so we know what's going on. 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Those are sound words for us. You know, I know a lot of people that have PhDs. And sometimes I seriously wonder how they managed to live this long. They're book smart and they're dumb as dirt. They lean under their own understanding. They're wise in their own eyes. But they can't grasp the reality of what's going on in our world. And they won't look at what's going on in the world through the eyes of Scripture. And the church sometimes won't look at Scripture through what's going on in our world. See, you can take the two and collide them and understand why things are happening the way they're happening. You know, you understand the signs in the heavens that happen. You know, God told us there would be signs in the skies. There'd be wonders. You'd see things in the sky. You would see things in the skies. You know how many times I was told growing up in the faith, you're not supposed to be looking for signs and wonders. Okay. It says the Christians are not supposed to be looking for signs and wonders. You know, it says that the world looks for signs and wonders. But guess what? We can pay attention to what's going on in our world around us. We can pay attention to what's going on with the stars and the moon. We can pay attention to what's going on with all these different astrological things going on in the universe as they line up with the things in the Bible. Did you know they line up with things in the Bible? They do, of course. We got separated from that. You know, whenever they changed our calendar, we went from a 13-month calendar to a 12-month calendar, and it got us all out of whack with the universe, what's going on. And they did it on purpose so we weren't in time with the seasons. We weren't paying attention to what was going on anymore. And sometimes you talk to Christians and they think you're looking at the stars, you're into astrology. No, I'm paying attention to what's going on in the sky. Jesus said, pay attention. Yeah. Yeah, I got a funny story about that. But anyway, we'll carry on with this. Says, take heed, in verse 9, says, take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues they shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. The persecution of Christians is picking up. The persecution of Christians is picking up. But here's the thing. It says that the gospel must be published in all nations. There's still some nations of people that haven't been reached with the gospel. There's some nations, you know, there's a big burst of Christianity in Iran. There's a big burst in Lebanon. You know, Lebanon has a lot of Christians in it. And Iran suddenly having a revival. Gaza is having a revival. Jesus is getting his gospel into these different places. But also, there's some places, you know, there's groups of people that it's illegal for us to come in contact with. Then they keep finding new people. So I don't know how this is all going to happen, but it's going to happen in God's own time. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. It says, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? See, a lot of people say this verse is talking about people that have actually seen the workings of God, but they scoffed at it. They didn't believe it. There are people that actually see miracles of God, and they don't believe it. We prayed for people in this church. You know, one time a guy had tumors in his head. And we prayed for him, and those tumors disappeared. Well, he went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, and they're gone. And the guy said, well, it's just a misdiagnosis. So he went on about his way, and he didn't make it a month. You know how many times I've seen that? No, God did a miracle in that man's life. He didn't acknowledge it, and he didn't do anything to keep it. I've seen that a lot of times. I've seen God do miracles in people's lives, and they didn't acknowledge it. And they didn't do anything to anchor it down and keep it. They lost it. Let's look over to Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. He's talking about this new heaven and this new earth. We're going to a new place. Whether you understand it or not, whether you believe it or not, things are not going to be the same. And here's the good news. You can look at Isaiah chapter 65. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, because I really like this one. Concerning this topic. You'll understand how we got to look at our world through the eyes of Scripture. And we got to understand what's going on in the political world. It all ties together. And here's our goal. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." How about that? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice to wake up in a world that is ruled by righteousness, where there's no more evil government, there's no more wicked rulers, there's no more people killing people for their resources, there's no more people just running around being evil because they can. It'll be the end of what they call the elite. They will come to an end. We will be set free. We're headed that way. Just know this. When the devil gets kicked out, he does a tear. He throws a big fit. There's going to be a big fit. There's going to be a big fit before we get set free. But we will be set free, and we will walk in righteousness. There is going to be a one world government. Did you know that? There's going to be a one world government, and the government is going to rest on Jesus' shoulders. It's all going to rest on Jesus' shoulders. It's not going to be the one world government that these evil people are trying to force to. It's going to be on Jesus. There's going to be a one world currency. It's going to be God's money. And there's going to be a one world church. The Bible tells us we're all going to come together in the unity of the faith. Amen? This is our new heaven and our new earth. We're walking into a whole new dispensation. This old thing is coming to an end. We're just going to go through a little bit of growing pains before we get there. Unfortunately, one of those growing pains, we'll see that in Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Now look to 9:18. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Now, ever since I even started learning anything about the Bible and going to church, I've been hearing about this great revival. And I picked up on something in the Word of Faith churches is that if it's not a positive word for you, it's not true prophecy. You know, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. You know, there were true prophets that came and gave people warnings. They gave people direct warnings. These prophets didn't just come up to people and say, "You're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed, 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 and you're going to be rich, 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 rich." That's not exactly what they did, now is it? Now, sometimes they did have positive prophecies, but a lot of times they had strict warnings. Now, one of the things that was pushed in these churches all the time was this great revival, and there is revival going on. You got to understand, there is great revival. But you never hear them talk about the death losses. Unfortunately, not everybody's going to make it to this new heaven and new earth. That would be a good story, wouldn't it? Bible clearly says not everybody's going to make it. See, this is why the urgency to get the gospel spread into every corner of the earth, why it's blaring as loud as it can to tell people about Jesus. They must know about Jesus. One guy that I really liked listening to, he said, "Everybody has a right to hear the gospel at least once. Nobody has a right to hear it more than once until everybody gets to hear it once." Yeah. See, here's the thing. There's a lot of people that desperately need Christ and they don't even know it. There's a lot of people that are on the fast track to hell and they think they're okay. A lot of them are sitting in church every Sunday. The gospel is not being preached in all these church buildings. In fact, if you preach the gospel in some of these church buildings, you get kicked out. Or you don't ever get invited back. They don't want to hear it. One of the most irritating things I ever heard was, somebody needed some help, and so these people called me, and then they got me to the side and said, "Now don't tell him anything about Jesus, and don't tell him how to be sober or nothing else, because he'll get offended." I said, "What did you call me for?" "Well, he needs help." Here's the thing, a lot of people, and I've been told this several times, that don't go tell people about Jesus, they'll get offended. I'm going to tell you something about being offended. If you're offended with Jesus, if you're offended with the gospel, you're really going to be offended when you land in hell. There's no more offensive place than hell. So get over it. Don't worry about offending people. If they get offended, they're not offended with you. You're not that cool. That's one of the things we have to understand. We're not that cool. They're not rejecting us. They're rejecting Christ. And you at least tried to give them the word. Maybe some of the seed you planted, maybe it stuck. Maybe. The Bible talks about in the end times that the reaper would overtake the sower. What's that mean? I've noticed that there have been times that I would talk to people about Jesus, and it seems like that word would just bounce off their foreheads. And then they would go somewhere else the next day, and somebody down there would get them born again. And it's like, really? And then I noticed where I just come up and have a simple conversation with somebody, tell them a little bit about Jesus, and they get born again. I think, how is that so easy? And I look, there's a lot of people that are sowing the word. There's a lot of people that are telling people about, not just you. You know, sometimes we think we're the only ones talking to somebody. There's somebody else talking to them about Jesus. And some of that seed gets stuck in there. And then there's these intercessors all over the world that are praying for these people. And then there's the Holy Spirit that's drawing them to the cross. So there's a lot of things in motion here. So now we can understand why the reaper overtakes the sower now. It seems like, you know, you can just go tell somebody about Jesus and they're born again that fast. That's the reaper overtaking the sower. But there's been a lot of words sowed out there too. But here, don't get frustrated. And don't get hurt. Don't get your feelers hurt because somebody rejected you. They didn't reject you. They rejected Christ. And we're in the end of the end times. And that clock, I don't know if any of you have noticed this. It seems like time is just flying. It's like you get up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, and it's already afternoon. And you do a couple more things, and it's time to go to bed. It's crazy how fast time is flying. We're coming to the end. But be of good cheer. See, this is the thing. A lot of people know that we're coming to the end, and they're all freaked out. When we should be cheering, we should really be cheering because this whole messed up thing that we've been living under, it's going away. I don't know exactly the path we're going to take getting there. You know, get raptured out of here, go away for 7 years, come back. I don't know if we just go through the Battle of Armageddon, go into the new earth. I mean, you can make a case either way for both of them, what timeline we're on. But guess what? Either way, you win. Either way, if you're in Christ Jesus, you win. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you better get that way real fast. And you got to know this. When you die, it's just your body that dies. Your spirit is going somewhere. See, this is why we got to have the correct address before we leave this earth. We're either heaven bound or hell bound. There's no purgatory, there's no second chances. That's why we got to have the correct address stamped on our spirit before we leave this earth. The Bible tells us that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. For it is with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believes unto righteousness. If you're not born again, you must get that way as soon as possible. Now, I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I know everybody in here is born again, but you say this prayer out of your mouth so your ears can hear it, because you need to practice so when you run into your neighbor and try to get him born again, you don't have to call me at midnight. You can just do it. Amen? Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe that God raised you back to life. This day, I confess you, Lord Jesus, to be my Lord. Now, if you just said that for the first time, you are born again. You are saved. Now, I encourage you to get into the Bible, the New Testament, specifically the New Testament, and listen to anointed preaching that'll teach you the Bible and keep growing in your faith. In Jesus' name, amen.